How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about the war in Iran and politics, if we get to it. Now, there is some things. I got to get the headset on. We were talking before the show, so wasn't ready. But there we go. Now we're all good. But yes, the war in Iran has now been going on for, a little while. I do believe the death toll hasn't really risen at all, which is good on our part, at least. I don't know what the Iranian death toll is or how that's been going, but we've bombed them consistently. I figure that the death toll has risen for them, unfortunately. So I do find it interesting, because I've now seen multiple articles talking about how, originally it was just, like, the Crown Prince of the UAE, I do believe, who was urging the United States to, or maybe it was the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, I don't know, either or, but they were urging Donald Trump to continue the war, in Iran. And apparently, there are more than just them who are urging Donald Trump to, continue the war in Iran. Now, I don't know who all they are. I just know that there was an article specifically referring to, I think it was Saudi Arabia now, because they had some kind of game to play against Saudi Arabia, and they are allowed to go to that. But, yeah. But anyways, I don't know. I don't know what the Middle East as a whole apparently has against Iran. I know that, like, Iran is Israel's biggest enemy for whatever reason that might be. So there's that. But I don't know what the Saudis and the UAE and I don't know who else is over there. Belize? No. Yemen? I don't know. I don't know who all we're friends with even over there. We're friends with Syria, Iraq. I don't know what those people have against Iran, I suppose. But I don't know that continuing it has done a whole lot of good. I mean, apparently Trump, now I don't know to what extent or how or exactly what they unrestricted, but apparently to combat the rising gas prices, Trump lowered restrictions on on Iranian oil, which is very confusing. I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know exactly what restrictions were moved or anything, so I don't know how that works. I don't know that we're buying it. Maybe they're just selling it to whoever, and then we're buying it off of whoever. I don't know. But, yeah, so I heard, there's that. I don't think that's great. Speaking of, the gas prices have passed an average of $4 in the, as a whole, I guess, in the U.S., for the first time since 2022, which would have been, COVID. I don't know what he expected to happen, I guess. This is pretty good and well what a lot of people, I guess, suspected would happen. They would close off the Strait of Hormuz, and, there'd be that. There's a lot of oil that comes through there, and natural gas, I do believe, comes through there too. But I think natural gas travels mainly through pipelines. We could always just close the pipeline. Speaking of, once again, the war, Donald Trump has proposed a boosting the defense budget to $1.5 trillion. So, I don't know what exactly the defense budget is. Last time I knew, it was something like $962 billion, almost a trillion. They want to raise that by about $500 billion. That's absurd. And also, not only that, they want to cut... One second, I want to make sure I got the number right. Well, let me find that thing. But yes, they have a... Donald Trump wants to raise the military budget to $1.5 trillion, which is absolutely crazy. Personally, I mean, I'd take like $200 billion off the military budget currently. You know, I don't know that we need that much. I don't think we need to be the global police. Maybe we should let the globe police itself. You know, not everybody's got our ideals on, you know, everything. So maybe we should just calm down, you know. The world is not our backyard. But, you know, while I'm trying to find this, I guess, there is the Artemis II rocket, the one heading, you know, around the Earth and then around the Moon and then back to the Earth, has released pictures of the Earth. They have left the Earth Earth's orbit today and are on the way to the Moon. You should look at these pictures of the Moon, of the Earth when you get a chance. They are beautiful, and, you know, it's cool to, you know, that's where every single one of everybody here is. You know, it's neat. I think if more people saw the Earth, there might be less conflict. You know, we live on a dot that's floating in the middle of space, in the middle of an almost infinite galaxy that we're almost guaranteed to never see all of. And we can't even get along on our little rock floating in space. Sad thoughts, aren't they? Sorry, I can't multitask to save my life. But yes, Donald Trump wants to cut, raise the defense budget to $1.5 trillion, and which is Oh, here it is. And then the president wants to reduce the spending on non-defense programs by 10%, which I don't see the number. It was something like, you know, a lot of money, like $70 billion, I want to say, but I didn't want to pull a number. But yeah, no, we at least as of currently, we have the largest national debt we have ever had. It's you know, gone up. So yeah, I don't know what the plan is to do with the, national debt, but we, you know, here it is. So he wants to raise, defense spending by over 40% to a record $1.5 trillion while cutting non-defense discretionary spending by 10% or roughly $73 billion. You know, this plan shifts priorities towards, well, obviously, it just says that it shifts to, priorities towards military investments as opposed to, domestic programs. But, you know, $73 billion is a lot of money. So, yes, you know, I don't exactly think that we know what we're doing at this point. I don't know about I don't know exactly that they know what they're doing at this point. Now, I do know that that war is expensive, so that you gotta have to, I guess, change it to some extent. I mean, they authorized, I think it was $100 billion extra, maybe $200 billion, I don't remember. So to help fund the war, and that was in the first, like, 5 days or something of the war. But yeah, so I don't know exactly that we should be doing that, but you know, the military budget's always something that we love to spend a lot of money on. We love to project power. You know, I guess it's in the interest of the nation as an entity, as opposed to the nation as being the people in the nation. But yeah, so. A defense budget of $1.5 trillion. I mean, that's quite a bit of money. I mean, apparently the defense budget this year is over a little over $1 trillion anyways. So they want to, you know, a little over 40%, it said. That's a lot of extra money going to defense spending that shouldn't have been if we just never went to war. Or if we weren't the global police. But, I guess it's too late for that. Now, also, as far as the war in Iran goes, there were two fighter jets shot down. One fighter jet was shot down earlier. There was a rescue mission launched, and the fighter pilot from the first one, I do believe, was saved, or rescued, I suppose. And the second jet went down, but I assume there's a rescue mission finding them as well, but they have not been saved yet. So that is two jets down in one day. And I do believe those are the first two jets to go down in general. So that's no good. I mean, they're taking fighters out of the sky, fighter jets. I mean, obviously, their air defenses and the military are more capable than I don't know, Trump or whoever decided to start this war thought. Otherwise, I don't know, maybe they just didn't plan very well. I do think that potentially they didn't plan very well. I mean, I read an article earlier about how Hegseth fired one of the high-ranking generals, and we're, you know, actively in the whole conflict with Iran. But I don't think he fired them all during this conflict, but he has fired many, admirals and generals and things like that. So, you know, I don't know that it's great to be doing it during the active war, but I don't know what reason he gave. I don't think he gave a reason, really. I think he just asked him to step down. So, you know, I'm sure he thinks he has his reasons, but I don't know what his reasons are. Trump was asked if the shooting down of the fighter jets were going to affect the negotiations at all, and he said, quote, no, not at all. No, it's a war. Which I can respect, I guess. You know, I mean, no, I'm not a fan of the war, but, you know, I think if you're going to be negotiating in a war, you can't let casualties that go on during the negotiations bother you. It's a war. I mean, you've been bombing them as the negotiations have been ongoing, so, I mean, I would figure that you would give them the credit of not holding it against them, I suppose. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be happy about it, but, you know, I don't think you can blame for shooting down the, to them, enemy fighter jets. But, you know, there's that. Now, I'm sure there's more with the war in Iran. I don't have it here at the very least. But the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanch, has been picked to be the new Attorney General. I don't know if he's been sworn in yet. But he has been tapped at the very least to be the new Attorney General. he has been, okay. Amber Alert for, apparently there's a tornado warning. So that's always nice. Maybe, I have to head to the hallway at some point. I don't know. Marion's generally pretty safe with the tornadoes. But yes, is an attorney and a former prosecutor. He served as the deputy attorney general since January 25, which would be when Trump took office, and is the acting librarian of Congress since May of 2025, and apparently that's disputed because the deputy librarian of Congress should have gotten the job when Trump fired the librarian of Congress, but instead Trump appointed Todd Blanch. So there was some dispute there, but I guess he just kind of wrote it out and, you know, has been disputed ever since. So, you know, there's that. But so he, I guess, is at least somewhat experienced as far as being an attorney goes. I don't know about being attorney general necessarily, but he's got legal experience. Now, his legal experience does include defending Trump. He was one of the Trump defense lawyers during the New York hush money case. Yeah, so, I mean, it's another one of the, like, Emile Beauvais, I do believe, was another Trump defense attorney. Yeah, so they got jobs, I guess, so good for them. I don't know. It's an interesting time, I suppose. At least he's got more qualification than Mark Wayne Mullen, but I don't know that that really matters at this point. I mean, I guess I want somebody who's competent, even if, you know, loyal to Trump. You know, you got to be loyal to Trump, so at least might as well have him competent. But I don't know how great this guy's going to be. I guess we shall find out. But, yeah, so a former Trump defense lawyer, I do believe, like I said, the New York hush money case. Now, also, I saw a CNN poll in which it said that, by the way, if you have anything you'd like to say, feel free. The phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You don't have to talk about politics. You can talk about anything you want to talk about. 740-383-9944. But, there was a poll done by the CNN, done by CNN. I don't think you would put the there. Anyways, done by CNN, in which they asked, I guess they pulled favorability of the two parties. Only 28% of Americans hold a favorable view of the Democratic Party, with the Republican Party at 32% favorable opinion. Now, I think that probably has to do, and I think the article I got it from even mentions the fact that Democrats are just rather upset with how they've been, that is another storm siren. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but they've been going off during this show. But the Democrats are rather unhappy with their own party at this point as well, I suppose, is the logic as to why the Democrats is lower. But it does, the complaints were largely the same for the two parties. I mean, the complaints, it listed off complaints. It was basically just like the Republicans didn't like the party because Trump-related things, and the Democrats didn't like the party because the party didn't do enough to, like, stop Trump. I mean, Trump's just driving down the favorability of everybody, I suppose. But I do think it's interesting that the Republican Party has more favorability. But I assume they're just kind of more not willing to go against their own party, from what I've seen, at least. But yeah, so there's that. So I don't know. I think the war in Iran's not going as well as Trump thought. He did give last night, I do believe, he gave at 9 o'clock. Eastern time, at least. Prime time, they call it prime time. Donald Trump did give a press conference to, well, you know, the nation, addressing the Iran war, and it was only, like, 13 minutes or something, like, give or take a couple. I don't know exactly that, Donald, it didn't give me any vote of confidence, I could say that much. I mean, Donald Trump, he didn't really say much in the thing at all, if I recall correctly. I mean, I think he said that Iran was going to have to open the Strait of Hormuz because it was the only source of income they have. And I think he said that we're independent as far as oil goes, and we don't really need their oil, which is why we're not going to try to open the Strait of Hormuz or something like that. I don't know. It was a whole big thing. But, you know, for somebody who likes to talk and talk and talk and talk, he talked, like I said, it was like 13 minutes. That's probably the shortest I've ever heard Trump talk, and that's, I don't know. Doesn't give me a lot of confidence. Now, I it would seem to me that we are probably winning this whole conflict, but I think that Iran was a bit tougher an enemy than previously anticipated. I don't know. I guess at this point we don't, I mean, at this point there's not a whole lot more to say, but, you know, nonetheless, $1.5 billion in defense spending is outrageous, in my opinion. So, you know, Oh, by the way, that was in the 2027 budget, so I guess it's not here yet, but could be soon. But yes, with that being said, it looks like we're actually going to make it to football this time. Now, I assume a lot of my football stories are a little outdated. I do have some newer ones here, but they're not... I mean, it's just like free agent signings, but the Browns do have 2 first-round picks this year. Obviously, offense is going to be their main priority. They said so themselves. I mean, they fired Kevin Stefanski, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, I think. And then to take Kevin Stefanski and, you fire him and then just hire, I think they hired, like, the Ravens offensive coordinator, if I recall correctly. Man, I have hiccups all of a sudden. But yes, so I do believe they hired the Ravens offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, or no, Chargers offensive coordinator, I do believe. Either way, Todd Monken, I do believe, is who they hired. Now, he's got a rebuild to handle. I mean, they do have an atrocious offense. They had a lot of picks. They had, you know, probably one of the best defensive draft classes in the league, if not the best, last year. I mean, Carson Schlesinger was one of the candidates for Rookie of the Year. He's the lineman. They have a defensive tackle who's Mason Graham, I do believe. He was a candidate. There are a couple other people I can't think of. I mean, I was a fan of... no, I don't really like any of their the three quarterbacks they ran with this year. I mean, they had Joe Flacco. They traded him, though. Joe Flacco wasn't great. I mean, Dylan Gabriel wasn't great. And then somehow, Shedeur Sanders ended up with MVP votes, which is terrible. I think that he only ended up with MVP votes because his dad is Bernie Sanders. But... Barry Sanders. But yeah. So, I don't know. That whole thing's a mess. But they do have 2 first-round picks, so that's going to be a big offensive rebuild year for them. I'm interested to see who they get. I mean, I like a lot of the players they have. I like both Dylan Sampson and Quinshon Judkins, obviously, the running backs. They drafted... Isaiah Bond. I like Isaiah Bond. They drafted Harold Fannin. Harold Fannin's really good. As a matter of fact, Harold Fannin was so good that they let go of David Njoku, which I think is a good idea. They were paying him a lot of money, and he had not been the David Njoku of previous years. He is, you know, doesn't have the just the productivity isn't there, and he's been a little injury prone. But the Browns could definitely do it. I mean, I have faith in the Browns. I mean, I don't dislike the Browns. I go watch a lot of Browns games. As a matter of fact, they're close, and relatively cheap as far as football tickets go. So yeah. Speaking of the Browns, their entire starting offensive line is set to leave. Now I don't know if that's still the case. I don't know if they've signed any of them yet. But I do know that it would be mind-boggling for them to get a whole new front five, especially seeing as the Browns' defensive line really, I don't think, is all that bad. I mean, maybe you could replace a couple of people, but I don't think that it's, you know, they were really bad. They did re-sign a couple of people, but they added new people as well. They added Zion Johnson and Elton Jenkins. Elton Jenkins is from the Packers. He's pretty good. He can move all over the line. The Packers have played him in pretty much all the positions. They also got Tytus Howard. Tytus Howard is pretty good. So they did overhaul a lot of the line. And the only one they re-signed, apparently, was Tevin Jenkins. So that's interesting. I mean, usually it's I don't want to say frowned upon, but teams don't like to change more than 1, maybe 2 offensive linemen a year because, I mean, you know, there's 5 offensive linemen and they have to work as a unit. You get a whole new front 5. They have to work, you know, kind of like figure the scheme out together. So a lot of the times they don't like to change that, but You know, I guess the Browns decided to. Now they did get a whole bunch of people who are good, but I don't know that that'll work for them. I do think it'll be beneficial to get an offensive line though, who's better at the run. I dropped my drink. Who's better at the run game? They do have Quinshon Judkins, and Quinshon is quite good. I think Dylan Sampson's also good. He's more of just a speedy guy, though. But yeah. Also, it's very unlikely. This has nothing to do with the Browns, but it's just a story I found interesting. Very unlikely, but Kyler Murray could be heading back to the MLB. Sorry, I had to think. MLB if he wanted to. Now, I don't think it will. He did go to the Vikings, so Kyler Murray signed to the Vikings. But the Oakland A's GM, David Forrest, by the way, in case you didn't know, a little background, Kyler Murray did play baseball. I do believe he played at Oklahoma, so he would have been a pitcher at Oklahoma, and he was also quarterback for the Sooners football team. And when, the MLB draft was held, he was drafted by the Oakland A's, and because he was drafted by the Oakland A's, should he come back to baseball, the Oakland A's retain the rights to have the first chance to sign him. So Kyler Murray is also a really good baseball player, apparently. But David Forrest, the Oakland A's GM, said, quote, Kyler is an elite NFL quarterback, and I'm sure there are plenty of opportunities for him to continue his football career. That said, he and his baseball representatives know that we are always open to him exploring a return to baseball with the A's if that time ever comes. So, if Kyler Murray ever gets, ousted from football due to a lack of production because he's in a streamer group and all he does is plays video games. Anytime there's an update in, like, Call of Duty or one of the games he plays, like, his production takes a noticeable drop. I mean, apparently he focuses so much more on the game than football that production takes a noticeable drop when there's updates on the games that come out. But, so if he gets, bullied out of football or something like that, he just doesn't get a chance to come back, which I really don't see happening. Kyler Murray's not bad. Even when he does put in the minimal amount of effort, he's not bad. He's just, mediocre. Yes, but Kyler Murray did sign to the Vikings, so I find it highly unlikely that he makes a return to baseball. Like, I don't know why he would. I could think of a couple reasons as to why he would, but apparently he didn't like him because he's still in football. Because I'm sure any reason I could think of, he could think of, too. And also, he did pick football for a reason. I mean, come on. Baseball's boring. Also, could you imagine playing baseball every day? Apparently, there are baseball games just, like, every day. That's crazy. Now, Stephon Diggs was released by the Patriots. Stephon Diggs is still a free agent. I think it'd be good for him to go somewhere that needs a wide receiver. I don't know. He's a decent wide receiver too. Probably a good wide receiver too. But I think the Patriots were using him as a wide receiver one. I think he'd be good at wide receiver two. I don't know who he would be good to go to. I mean, the Packers might need a wide receiver at this point. We lost Romeo Doubs. He's at the Patriots now. We lost Dontavion Wicks. I don't remember where Dontavion Wicks went. But maybe he went to the Dolphins. Speaking of the Dolphins have got a whole new team going on over there. They've got John Eric Sullivan, I do believe is his name. He was the Packers president of player personnel. And then he got the GM job at the Dolphins. And then he brought in Jeff Hafley, who was the defensive coordinator for the Packers. And then Jeff Hafley brought in, like, the linebacker coach, the defensive backs coach. He just brought in, like, five or six of the coaching staff from the Packers. They have Malik Willis, who was the backup quarterback at the Packers. They got, I do believe, Dontavion Wicks went to the Dolphins, so he's got, that going for him. There's a lot of, the Dolphins got a whole new thing going on over there. They rebuilt the whole front office, which is good. I mean, the front office might be the problem, which I didn't know the front office could be such a problem. But after the GM got fired, the Dolphins, or Mike McDaniel, did very well with the Dolphins. So I don't know what the GM was doing, but the GM got fired and Mike McDaniel just started winning out. So Mike McDaniel, I even have faith in Mike McDaniel. Now I don't know that it'll make him a head coach again, but he's obviously an offensive guy. So I have faith in him. He was looking at the Browns job, did not end up wanting. I wouldn't want the Browns job. But I hope the Browns do get the whole thing figured out over there.
Oh,
speaking of, I think the Browns could use Stephon Diggs, now that I'm mentioning it. They don't have a wide receiver, really. I mean, I like Isaiah Bond, but wide receiver 2 or 3 at best. I don't know. They do have Harold Fannin and things, but I think they could use an actual wide receiver 1. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Jerry Jeudy. A lot of people like Jerry Jeudy. I didn't have a whole lot of faith in him. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see where that whole thing goes. But they do have, like I said, the 2 first-round picks, so you never know what the Browns might do with those. If I were them, I'd go for a quarterback, though. I don't like any other quarterbacks. All I'm saying. The Raiders signed Tyler Linderbaum. Tyler Linderbaum is an offensive lineman. Came from, I do believe, the Ravens. One of the best in the league at his position. Very good. Considering they have Ashton Jeanty, I think that'll be good for Ashton Jeanty. He can run the ball a lot more. They hand the ball off to him a lot anyways. But also, they need a quarterback. They did get rid of Geno Smith. They're probably going to end up drafting a quarterback, I'd guess. I don't know what the Raiders' goal is, I suppose. They do have a new GM. Not like new, but I think Al Davis was the GM for a long time, and then he, I want to say retired, but he might have passed away. Either way, his son is in control of the team now. His son apparently has a whole different philosophy. So, we shall see what happens with that. Now, by the way, speaking of, I just said that the Raiders did let go of Geno Smith. They did. But the Raiders also just signed a deal, to my understanding, if I recall correctly, with Kirk Cousins. Now, Kirk Cousins, very mediocre quarterback, I'm not going to lie, but there's nothing wrong with a guy who can do it. I think Kirk Cousins is a underrated kind of a quarterback. Nothing wrong with Kirk Cousins. I can think of a lot worse quarterbacks, but I can think of better quarterbacks. So I'm interested to see what happens there. But I don't know. Also, apparently the Packers are just falling apart. I mentioned Dontavion Wicks. He was a wide receiver for the Packers. We also let go of Romeo Doubs. He went to the Patriots. So Romeo Doubs went to the Patriots. He's probably going to end up replacing Stephon Diggs unless they draft somebody to replace him. I mean, they also have people that I'm sure they like over there. But there's that. We let go of Quay Walker. He went to the Raiders. Quay Walker was a linebacker, one of our better linebackers. Went to the Raiders after the Max Crosby ended up on the waiver wire. So he's gone. Malik Willis, like I said, already left to the Dolphins. We lost the defensive coordinator. We lost like half of the defensive coaching staff. We lost our president of player personnel. It's looking rough. I'm not excited for this coming year. I mean, the Packers have been kind of quiet in free agency, so maybe they have a game plan come. Maybe they have a game plan come, you know, the draft day. But if they do, I'm certainly interested to see it. By the way, Clint Kubiak, I have a lot of faith in him. He's the new head coach at the Raiders. He was the offensive coordinator at the Seahawks that won the Super Bowl this year against the Patriots. So I have a lot of faith in him and what he's going to build over there. Now, he does like to run the ball a lot, obviously. He had a two-headed running back system over there. He had Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker being the head horse, I suppose, the head back. In the committee, so I'm interested to see what he can do with somebody like Astron Genty, who's got the workhorse abilities, you know, has for since college, so I'm interested to see what he can do over there, especially with rebuilding the offense. Now I don't know what all they've done exactly, but I'm excited nonetheless. So we shall see what happens there. The Falcons have signed Tua, speaking of the Dolphins. Tua, they let go of Tua. Doesn't surprise me. He hasn't been great. So they fired him, and ended up signing Malik Willis. But Tua ended up signing a 1-year veterans minimum at the Falcons. Now, I don't know what a veterans minimum is, but I promise you, that's a much better deal for the Falcons than it is Tua. I mean, it's a 1-year prove-it deal, basically. If he flops, then, you know, they had to pay him basically nothing to play. But if he does well, then they have to pay him again before the season's over so that they can re-up his contract and he can stay. A change of scenery can do it for a quarterback. You know, a lot of times a change of scenery is a good thing. Not always. Sometimes, usually. Or I don't even know, usually, sometimes. But, you know, there's that. So, Tua going to the Falcons on a 1-year deal is great for the Falcons, in my opinion. I mean, they're not sold on Michael Penix, that guy. He's a left-handed quarterback, though, which I think is pretty cool. Left-handed quarterbacks are always nice. Same thing with Tua. Tua's left-handed. But Michael Penix is just a little bit of a different, I don't know. I think he's got the ability, but he's, he makes some questionable decisions. Nonetheless, good for the Falcons on getting Tua on such a cheap trade there. Not even a trade, such a cheap contract. I'm surprised Tua didn't wait for something better. I'm sure he could have got something better. And once again, speaking of the Dolphins have been busy this year. The Dolphins have traded traded the Broncos for Jalen Williams. Jalen Waddle. Now, Jalen Waddle is number 17 at the Dolphins. A very fast wide receiver. But the Broncos gave the Dolphins the 30th overall pick, so the first round, first 30, so round 1, pick 30, as well as a third round pick this year and a fourth round pick this year. So that's 3 picks they got for Jalen Waddle, who honestly I think is overrated as is. He's just very fast. I don't think he's great. And in exchange, the Broncos received Jalen Waddle and the Miami's 2026 fourth round pick. So they exchanged fourths, and which honestly, great for the Dolphins in my opinion. Good there. Maybe it'll be good for the Broncos as well. I don't know. I mean, the Broncos almost made it to the Super Bowl. They would have, in my opinion, had they had their quarterback, but they don't even really have offensive problems. I mean, I can't think of his Bo Nix. Bo Nix played well. I mean, he got hurt in the playoffs, and then they had to bench him for the game, for the NFC or the AFC. I don't know, for the conference championship game. But he could honestly, I mean, I don't know, they had no problems as far as I could tell. Now, Caden Ellis has signed with the Saints to replace DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis is, he was good is good, I guess. Maybe not as good as he used to be, but Caden Ellis, I'm a big fan of Caden Ellis, linebacker from the Falcons. Now on the Saints, I don't really have a whole lot to say about that. Just Caden Ellis is a big name player. I'm surprised that the Falcons let him go. I guess maybe he wanted a lot of money. Yeah, so, you know, I don't really know what that's about. But, yeah. So Caden Ellis is gone from the Falcons, and he is now on the Saints. Now, one of the biggest surprising moves as far as the free agency goes, that I've found, or thought at least, was Kenneth Walker, went to the Chiefs. Now, I don't know why, the Seahawks let Kenneth Walker go. I do believe that he was scheduled to be a free agent. They just didn't re-sign him. But yeah, I assume he just wanted a lot of money. I really don't know. But I mean, he won the Super Bowl MVP, and he ended up on the Chiefs, which I think is a great team for him to end up on. I mean, the Chiefs have a very lack of run game. If you can get their offensive line, I mean, they have a decent running back in Isaiah Pacheco, but for some reason, Pacheco just can never seem to get it going. But Kenneth Walker has and does get it going. So he's gone now, to the Chiefs. I don't know how much the Chiefs paid him, but apparently, yes, the reason the Seahawks didn't want to keep him is because he wanted something like $10 million a year. Which, I mean, you know, I do all the time say that running backs are probably the most replaceable position in football. But, I mean, I would probably give Kenneth Walker the $10 million a year. I mean, I don't know how much he wanted. I guess it does say it exceeded the $10 million a year that they were willing. So I don't know how much he wanted, but I mean, you know, he's probably one of your, if not your best player. So, I don't really know what you do about that, but, sad day for the Seahawks fans who lost. Sad day for the Seahawks fans who lost Kenneth Walker. Yeah. Now, I don't know if any of you watch basketball, by the way, but I figure Luka Doncic is injured. I don't know with what. I just figure that's I know who Luka is, Luka Doncic. He's, yeah. But, yeah. So, his injury, I'm sure, is not going to do the Lakers any good. But I don't really watch the basketball all that much. I just know of him. So, I figured I'd mention that real fast. But no, I think Kenneth Walker will probably win a Super Bowl. Well, he just won a Super Bowl, but I think he'll probably win another one before it's all said and done, so long as the Chiefs can get their get it all together and, you know, do as they have previously, I guess. As far as the Bengals go, speaking of the Chiefs here, Brian Cook, I do believe, played for the Chiefs. He's a safety. He's good, rather good, and the Bengals have signed him, which is good, a good addition for them. As I'm sure many of you know, the Bengals defense has been lacking the last few years, leaving, you know, the offense to do all the heavy lifting, and they just can't. So the Bengals, despite having a good offense, I don't know, their offense wasn't great last year, honestly, but the year prior, they had great offense, terrible defense, worst, one of the worst teams in the NFL. But they added Brian Cook, which is going to be good for their, defense. Now I don't know what all the game plan is for the defense, but I assume that a lot of their draft picks are going to go to the defense. I don't know. I guess we'll see how that whole thing happens. But they lost Trey Hendrickson; he's gone, signed to the Ravens. I guess they could have gotten Max Crosby, but Max Crosby, I think, is a already gone as well. I don't remember where he signed to. But yeah. And, oh wow, look at that. Almost perfect timing. We got 2 minutes left here, and I have the one last story to talk about here. Isaiah Likely is heading to the Giants, which makes sense, I guess. Isaiah Likely came from the Ravens. The Ravens, John Harbaugh was the head coach, and, or maybe it's Jim. I don't know. I get them mixed up. They're twins, obviously. Or brothers. I don't know about twins. But I think Jim Harbaugh is the one who's now coaching the Giants. And, yeah, so it didn't surprise me that Isaiah Likely came to the Giants. I mean, you know, he followed Harbaugh to the Giants. And Harbaugh's building a team there, honestly, it seems like. Isaiah Likely's really good. I mean, you already got, obviously you have Jackson Dart. Can't forget about Jackson Dart. You have, I can picture his face in my head right now. The running back, Cam Scataboo. Yeah, so you got those two. You have, I'm terrible with names tonight. I can't think of his name. The wide receiver, whose name is escaping me at this given moment. They have him. He got hurt and was put away, you know, out for the year. But I think he'll be back next year, and I'm sure he'll be fine. With that being said, we got about 15 seconds left here. So, hope you enjoyed. You can listen 24 hours, 7 days a week at www.wwgh1071.com. At the bottom of the page is a Listen Live button. However you're listening now is obviously going to work. You can listen on Alexa, just about any smart device. But with that being said, like I said, I appreciate you all listening. Have a nice night, and goodbye.
WGN's Bozo the Clown.